Welcome back to Not Too Busy to Write. I'm Penny Winsor, author and book coach. I am back in your ears for a bonus episode this week. I wanted to share an audio session from my new writer's membership, The Fold. Inside The Fold, we have weekly audio sessions, co-writing sessions, and monthly online workshops from guest experts, all designed to help you get your work done. It's a membership for writers of all kinds, whether you're working on a novel, a memoir, nonfiction, a book proposal, or even Substack. Each week in the audio session, which you can access via a private podcast feed, I talk about different aspects of writing and publishing, all focused around helping you achieve your writing goals. Today, I wanted to share one of those sessions with you to have a little taste of what it's like inside The Fold. The Fold is an ongoing monthly membership. And this Friday, the 9th of May, we are beginning a 21-day writing sprint, which I will be doing too. We'll be having daily audio sessions, extra co-writing sessions for those 21 days. And there'll be prizes for participants, including one-to-one writing coaching with me, as well as books and audiobooks. This 21 writing day sprint is open to members of The Fold. So if you are thinking about joining, now is the perfect time to do so. You can find out more by visiting pennywinsorwrites.com/the-fold, and the link is also in the show notes. I really hope you enjoy the session today, which is all about motivation, and hopefully I'll see some of you inside The Fold. Hi, it's Penny. Welcome back to The Fold. Just a heads up before we dive in this week. It is still school holidays while I'm recording this, so there may be a bit of background noise. I will do my best to edit any major disruptions out, but I just wanted to give you a little forewarning. One of the things that was interesting about setting up this new membership was that if I was going to make it year-round, I really had to tell myself that, you know, I'm going to have to accept that these recordings are going to be imperfect because there's no way that I can guarantee time completely alone and in a quiet house to do all these recordings. So hopefully it won't be too disruptive. But if you do hear a bit in the background, that's what it is. So today I wanted to share a question from one of our lovely members, Hayley. Thank you so much, Hayley, for sending in this question. I think lots of people really, really resonate with it. I know I certainly do at times too. This is her question. I used to absolutely love the process of writing, and now it's sometimes like I have to force myself to do it. I can only imagine this has to do with pressures I'm under as a parent and really struggling to find headspace. How do I move from forcing myself to actually enjoying it? And what does that look like, whether that's short term or long term? This is such a great question. And I'm going to start by saying, first of all, that I think it's really important to acknowledge that motivation is never going to be consistent. It just isn't going to be. I think motivation, like anything like to do with our energy at all, it just doesn't stay the same. You know, we're humans, we're not robots. It's never going to be completely consistent. And I think sometimes, first of all, we forget that because we might have a period of consistent motivation and assume that is correct and that's the way it's supposed to be. But I genuinely don't think we are supposed to be consistently motivated all of the time. I just don't think it's possible. So that's the first thing I would say. Even just kind of reminding ourselves that and acknowledging that can be super, super helpful so that we don't sort of have these ridiculous expectations that we're going to be highly motivated all the time. The next thing I would say is that even though motivation comes and goes, and it genuinely does come and go, I don't think we should entirely rely on motivation to keep us working on our books. That's not to say, as I mentioned before, that we need to be consistent all the time with what we do with our work. I really, really don't think that. I think the amount that we work will go up and down as our energy goes up and down and our motivation goes up and down. But that doesn't mean we can't work when our motivation is lower. And so I don't think we should entirely be relying on motivation. Okay, so now that I've got those two big things out of the way, let's talk about ways in which we can look at increasing our motivation. Hayley mentioned that she feels like she's forcing herself at the moment and she wants to actually be enjoying it. And I think that is so important, really, really important. And I think particularly if this has been a persistent problem, I don't think short periods of low motivation are a problem personally. I really don't. But I think if it becomes persistent and you're not happy about it, then definitely I think there's some things that we can all do. And really that begins with kind of diagnosing what's going on underneath this lack of motivation. And that would be, I think, the most important thing to do first. And so I would encourage you all, so if you have time now, if you are not sort of driving a car or out walking your dog, grab a pen and paper. I've got a few journaling prompts I think would be really useful for this. But what I'm also going to do is I'm going to put them in a Word document and I'm going to store them on the in the membership site. So if you are listening on your podcast app, you can go into the membership site to the weekly sessions and find this particular session on motivation. And I will put a link to download this Word document. So if you're on the move now, you don't have to worry about it. But if you're near a pen and paper and you want to get started, you can do it as you're listening. So the first thing I would do is I would ask a series of questions to work out what's going on underneath this lack of motivation. So the first thing to consider is, how is your energy in general at the moment? How is your energy? Is your energy persistently low at the moment, along with your motivation? I think this is a really important question to ask ourselves, because we can't be going full pelt all the time. We genuinely can't. And there is going to be periods of our life where our energy is very low for a whole lot of reasons. It might be that things are very stressful at the moment for you. It might be you're under a lot of financial stress, or you might be having health issues at the moment. Or perhaps, you know, your children are going through a really difficult time. Whatever it is, those stresses, those life stresses that we all go through, can really, really zap our energy. And it does take energy to ride. It takes a lot of energy, even though it's just sitting there. It takes a huge amount of energy. So first of all, I would ask, how is your general energy at the moment? Is your energy for everything low and not just for writing? So that's the first question. And then I would say, if the answer is yes, that your energy is very low across the board, I would ask yourself, do I need to have a period of rest? Is rest actually the most useful thing I could be doing right now, the best thing for my writing right now? That's not always the answer we want. I know I have had to have periods of rest that I have not necessarily been very excited to have. I found it quite frustrating. But sometimes rest is the answer to a period of very low motivation and low energy. So that was the first question that I would ask myself. And then the next question is related, but not exactly the same, is really to do with, perhaps your energy is not completely low across the board, but it's just quite low for writing. And then in that case, I would say, you know, have you been filling up your well? Perhaps you've been forcing yourself into a period of output and you've been trying to get words on the page and you've been pushing and you've been pushing and forcing yourself. And perhaps actually what's needed is to pull back a little and to spend some time inputting, you know, spend some time filling that well and going inwards and allowing yourself to absorb. And I really genuinely believe that we go through periods of output and periods of input. And unfortunately, they can be a bit inconsistent. I definitely go through big output phases where I'm very focused on my writing and I'm really, really highly motivated to get words on the page. And other phases where I'm really not at all, and I know that actually what I need is to put things back in again. So that would be the next question. How inspired am I feeling right now? And have I been feeling my well? Do I need to pull back from forcing myself to output and to go into a period of input instead? The next thing I think would be good to do some journaling around and to have a think about is, when was the last time writing felt like play? So if you can have a really good think about when you genuinely felt like you were playing on the page. And maybe that was a few weeks ago, or maybe it was a few months ago, or maybe it was a couple of years ago. But I want you to think about when you last felt that sense of play when you went to write. And then I want you to have a think about what could make sitting down to write feel more playful right now. And this is a tricky one because you might not get the answer immediately, especially if you're feeling quite stuck in what you're working on. But it's really worth allowing yourself some time to journal over that question. Think about what it would take to feel like you were playing more on page. You might come up with some surprising answers. It might be that actually taking a break and then coming back to it might be the answer that you need. It might be that actually you need to just have an affair with another writing project. I think sometimes they can be dismissed as time wasting and getting distracted and all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes, you know, we get told, don't we, that we can't follow every whim, that we need to be consistent and stick to our projects. And that's true to a certain extent. I do agree. But occasionally having an affair with another writing project might be just what you need to infuse a little bit of motivation. And again, it might come back to this idea of, in order to feel more playful, that maybe you need to allow yourself to fill up that well again. And so maybe that might mean spending more time reading in a very playful genre. Maybe that means allowing yourself to read things that are not necessarily good for your writing, perhaps a totally different genre than you are writing in yourself. Or perhaps it means going out into nature more and spending a bit more time outside in nature. Maybe that will help you feel a bit more of a sense of play. Perhaps it's watching films and experiencing stories in other art forms, film, television, audio. Maybe it's just different ways that you can access story to make it feel a bit more like play again. And perhaps it's also, you know, seeing visual art or gardening or some other kind of creative endeavor or hobby or anything like that that might help you connect with a sense of playfulness again. Sometimes switching to a different craft or a different medium or something that has a bit less weight and a little bit less expectation and pressure that perhaps you've got on your writing might allow you to tap into that motivation again, potentially. The next question I would ask myself, which I think regularly comes up for writers, I certainly come up for me at times, is, am I in a challenging part of my manuscript or proposal at the moment? When we reach really difficult parts of our books, I think it can really suck the motivation out of it because we're not achieving perhaps quite as much as we want to achieve day to day or in each writing session because of how difficult of a period that we're in with it. And when we're not meeting milestones and goals as quickly as we were in the beginning, it can be very demotivating. But I think just acknowledging that you're in a very difficult part of your manuscript or proposal can go a long way to helping you just keep putting one foot in front of another. And maybe you have to slow down, and maybe you have to take a few breaks, and maybe you have to do a little bit of well filling along the way to get you through that challenging period. And if it is that you're in a very challenging part of your book and that you've realized that that is actually one of the big problems, then I would say, could you be asking for help with this challenge? Could you be reaching out to writer friends? Could you be reaching out to me? Could you be reaching out to somebody else? Could you be listening to some podcasts about writing? Could you be reading some craft books? Is there something that you can do to ask for help with a particular challenge that you're experiencing with your book? The last one is there something I'm afraid of in my writing right now? And this coming back to something that came up in our session with Sass Petherick, which if you haven't done, do go check it out. It's now in the monthly sessions section, the workshop that Sass did on self-doubt. And one of the things that she talked about was this idea of, you know, what happens when our self-doubt is triggered. And so if there is some fear happening around your book, that could be draining you of your motivation. And this fear could be so many different things. I know one fear that comes up with memoirs quite a lot, for instance, is fears over whether or not something should be included in the story because it perhaps overlaps with another person's story, and not knowing whether or not you are allowed or you feel like you have permission to share your story when it overlaps with someone else's. So that's just one example of the kind of fear that I'm talking about, where a fear around something very specific to do with your book is perhaps really sucking all the motivation out of you. It could be, you know, a general fear of failure or of being judged by others with what you're putting down on the page. So ask yourself quite specifically if there is something you're afraid of with this book, this project that you're working on. So those are the big questions I think are really great to spend some time journaling around, really digging into, uncovering what's going on with the lack of motivation. Is it to do with your energy? Is it to do with needing to fill up your well? Is it your need for more playfulness? Perhaps your project has become very heavy and there's not enough playfulness in there. Perhaps it's a very challenging part of your manuscript or your proposal. Or perhaps there's some specific fears around the book that is happening. I'm going to tell you a little story about something that happened to me last year. I did bring this up in the Your Writing Year workshop. So if you did that with me, you will have heard this before. But last year, I was working on two different novels, both of which I decided to end. I think the first one at 30,000 words-ish. And I think the second one maybe at 40,000 words. I can't remember exactly, but it was something like that. I was, you know, it was a good chunk of words. It was a huge amount of hours, basically a lot of hours. When I put the second one down, which was probably in the early summer, I would say, I was feeling very drained and a big lack of motivation. Having just poured so much time and energy into two projects, which I decided not to move forward with, was really hard and demotivating. The first thing I did, which I'm so glad I did, was take a break. I took a complete break from novel, fiction, anything completely. I was obviously still doing a bit of writing. I was writing on Substack. I had my nonfiction book coming out last year, so I was doing quite a bit of writing around that as well. But I took a complete break from novels, even thinking about it. I just knew I needed the summer off, basically. I was bringing out a book at like the most difficult time for me. August can be so difficult in our household. And I was having to bring out the book in August, which had not been planned. It was supposed to come out in early July. It was a big fuck up with the printing. It was just a mess. Anyway, I was already so stressed about the summertime. And so I was just like, no, I have got to take a break. So I took a break. I didn't think at first about novels at all. And then I did start thinking about what I might want to write next. And I thought about a few ideas and I started letting them float around in my mind, but I didn't sit down and write anything. I certainly didn't go near my laptop in terms of novel writing. And then, you know, over the summer, I did start jotting down some notes. I had a few ideas mulling around. They weren't very formed. They were just little ideas, little pockets, little scenes that I thought actually might turn into the shape of something, but I wasn't quite sure. I didn't push it at all. I read books only that I was excited about and interested in. I didn't do any reading that I felt like I should do at all. I just read purely for pleasure, purely for whatever I wanted to read. I read a lot of romance last summer because I was like, I just want happy endings and pleasure, and I want like really great storytelling. And so I just read whatever I felt like reading. And then towards the end of the summer, in the couple of weeks leading up to when my book was coming out, I had this idea for a short story, and it was sat in my mind for a little while, and I could see it taking shape. And eventually I sat down one day and I wrote it. And I think I wrote it in two sittings over 2 days. And then a few days later, I redrafted it. And it came to me pretty formed, actually, fairly formed. So it was really, I did all of that in maybe 3 or 4 sittings. And I was like, oh, there's something in this. There's something in this story. There's something about this story that really, I really tapped into something. And the thing that was really interesting about going to a short story is that short stories are, you know, from a kind of career perspective, are pretty useless, right? I mean, like, you know, slightly nerdy people like me, and I'm sure some of you like reading short stories, but not many people do. They are not commercially viable. They get printed in some lovely literary magazines and occasional anthologies, but basically then it's not a work thing. And I think in some ways that was what was so freeing about it, is that I wasn't thinking about something as big and enormous and kind of commercial as a novel. I was thinking about some very tiny, small idea that I was just picking up, turning over, having a little looking at in sort of small detail, and then putting it down again. And so I did that, and I was really just driven purely by wanting to have a little play on the page with this idea that was in my head. I did it. I sent it to my boyfriend, who is a big reader. He's also a poet, so he writes poetry. But both of those things, being both a very big reader and also a poet, makes him really fantastic at reading and giving feedback, and especially on really detailed line level. And he's fantastic on short stories. So I sent it to him. I was like, if you get a chance, you know, have a read. And he was in the office, you know, and he only goes into his office, like, I don't know, a couple of days a week or something. And he was in his office. And so I didn't expect him to read it that day. And he sent me a message and said, oh, I read your story. And that was all it said. I was like, okay, what did you think? And then he sent his next message back was, I had to go for a walk. He found it so powerful that he's like, I had to get out of the office. I had to go for a walk because I couldn't shake it. And I was like, is that a good thing? And he's went, yes, that's a good thing. That is exactly what a short story should do. It should unsettle somebody like that. That's the power of a short story. So that only came about, that short story, because I decided to go and play on the page. And the only reason I felt able to go play on the page was because I had had a proper break. I think I had taken, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks, 2 months. I can't remember how long it was exactly between when I put down that last novel and when I wrote that short story. I think it was probably about 2 months, actually. And when the time came, it just poured out of me. And I let myself do it because I was just trying to find my way back in to writing fiction again in a way that felt right and felt good and felt playful. So I wanted to tell you that story because I think this is really common with writers. This is what we do, right? We go through phases. We have failures. Those failures can be very demotivating. And then we have to find our way back again. I think it would have been a big mistake for myself to keep pushing through that period of 2 months where I didn't want to write. I think it would have been a big mistake. I had a whole lot of other stuff I had to do. I had my kids to take care of. I had money to earn to pay the mortgage. I had another book coming out that I needed to promote. Those are big things. And I needed to rest from pushing myself on the other writing that I was doing. And finally, I want to leave you with a quote from Amy McNee in her book, We Need Your Art. I think I've just interviewed Amy quite recently for the podcast. Some of you may have heard it. I think this book is absolutely brilliant in terms of making you feel less alone in the struggles around living a creative life and being an artist. But I just want to share something that Amy writes about patience, which I think really speaks to what we've been talking about today. Ebbs and flows come in all shapes and sizes on the creative journey. Sometimes we will create a lot. Sometimes we will create nothing. Ebbs and flows happen with our income. They happen with our love of the craft as we undulate in our feelings towards projects. They happen with our skills as one day everything feels easy and the next feels like we've forgotten how to type, sing, or play. They happen with our audience, both in its size and its disposition towards us. This journey is not linear, and we must learn to ride these waves and be patient with the troughs that will happen. Knowing that the journey is up and down is the most important thing. You haven't done anything wrong when you haven't created for a few weeks or your income's gone down. You don't need to panic. You need to sit with the stillness and and acknowledge that this is part of your art journey. I just wanted to end on that because I think it's so reassuring. We're not machines. Things will ebb and flow. Things will change. You will have periods where you are very prolific and periods where you are not. And I think that is really natural. I do hope, though, some of the prompts that I've shared today will help you and anyone who's going through some issues with their motivation to kind of really diagnose what's really going on underneath that. And then perhaps based on what you uncover, you're able to help ease yourself back into a slightly higher motivation period. But above all, do be patient with yourself. We are not machines to be switched on and off. Unfortunately, we always have so many other things, a million other things going on in our lives and our bodies and all sorts of things. And let me know if you find those journaling prompts helpful. Have a fantastic writing week.